B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Meanwhile, let's get to the Celtics. What's up with them, Mass? You watched last night?
Yeah, so again, I had all three last year. I totally forgot what that was like. So I had all three on at the same time. One on the TV, one on the computer, one on the iPad.
Oh, it's so sporty, right?
It just felt like sport. The old times.
It really did. It's Masters Week. There were three games on. The draft's coming up. Oh, I missed it.
So sporty.
I missed it. I've always told you, April's the best month on the calendar. There's so much going on in April. It's absolutely awesome. But with regard to the Celtics, they got no balls. They have no balls. Their star players have no balls. And again, I go back to Tatum. You know, when Embiid starts to assert himself and Philly starts to take over the game, to me, that's where your team has to respond. That's where your best player has to respond. Someone's got to really give the team a competitive identity. And I don't think Jason Tatum does that. That's immediately where I go. And you know what? I knew they were pork last night as soon as I saw when Fournier was out. I said they have an excuse to not really compete, and there it is. Because, again, in their defense, they have had very few games where they've had everyone available. So as soon as Fournier went out, I said that's it.
As soon as you give them an excuse.
Yes. This is their excuse now to sort of shut it down.
And as happens every game, there's one run and early in the game, and that's it. And it was the second quarter. Philly goes on that run, and that's it.
It stayed that way the rest of the night.
And the Celts just give into it. Stevens said it point blank last week. It's the same old story. There is no pushback on that team. There's no edge on that team. There's no identity, DNA, all that stuff. There's just no there. I don't even know. I said this last night. I don't even know how they play anymore. Like, I used to be able to identify, an offense, a pick and roll offense and a ball movement offense. And Brad Stevens, you know, with these plays and the ATOs, and it was an identifiable way that they played and, you know, pretty tenacious defensively. And they were lacking in talent. And not a complete team, but I knew how they played and they had an identity. Completely lost.
It changes almost every trip down the floor.
Yeah.
Now let alone night to night.
Now they're just sloppy and stupid. How many turnovers did they have
22?
Last night? 6 by Marcus Smart. I think 4 alone by Jaylen. They're a mess. And they simply got beat by a better team last night. The 76ers are a much better, much tougher team than them.
And how did that happen? And when did that happen? Because for years, I've said, the Sixers are trash, and they'll never pass you. There's just a bad mix. Coach is a bozo. Best player is a dog. Second best player can't shoot. How does that team ever, you know, pass you with all your good young talent and good coaching and good DNA? You know, you've got the Sixers, and they'll never get past you with that mix unless they blow it up. And now here they go. They fire the coach. Make a few fringe roster moves. Keep the two key pieces. But make a few fringe roster moves, and now all of a sudden, they are not just better than you, they are a gap better than you. They are much better than you. So how did that happen? And is there a lesson there?
Oh, totally. Because last year, the Sixers couldn't compete with the Celtics at all. This year, it's the complete opposite. So, you know, I've been mostly with you, Mike, in that like they've been a dumb, stupid team. Brett Brown was an idiot, but I got to give them credit from moving on. They made some poor personnel decisions. They move on from a coach who sucked. And they bring in Doc Rivers. Now it's a tight operation. Embiid, now that he's healthy again, is in good shape and is a monster. And you have nothing that can stop him. But it really comes down to the coach. So, and the other thing, too. Can you admit that Ben Simmons is actually good? Because he is.
Well, to me, I'll tell you what I think it is quickly. Because Murray says he got through to Embiid. That's what it is. Rivers tapped into Embiid. Doc's not some great X's and O's guy. It's not like all of a sudden. No. He dialed into Embiid. He got Embiid to start to play to his ceiling.
So that's it. You got to find someone that can get through to Tatum.
Right, so this is your point about Stevens. It's not that if you can't get through to the best player, you forget it. It's no good. It's not going to work.
So I think coaching is a sidecar in that league like you do, Maz. But, that's how I feel. The coach is superfluous. But I don't know. I got to look at Philly and say, well, wait a minute. There was a real impact there when they changed the coach. And because remember, at the time, people were saying, and there were reports, Embiid doesn't want to play with Simmons. They can't play together. They got to move one of the two. And they make a move at coach. They tweak the front office with Daryl Morey. And they said, no, we're going to keep those two together. We'll make some other fringy moves. You know, get rid of Horford. They bring in Curry. And what was the other move that they made?
Danny Green. Two shooters.
Green and Curry. Never mind Dwight Howard there, you know, to back up Embiid. So they make a few moves sort of on the periphery of their roster. They change the coach. And the next thing you know, that team knows how to play.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think the big thing is Embiid. Okay, he's an MVP candidate. Yeah. He's averaging 30 points a game. The guy's a force. This is the guy they thought they were drafting. So now, you could look at it cynically and say, well, Embiid's 26 now. Maybe he's starting to get it. It's Doc. Doc knows how to tap into guys like this, and players respond to him because he's played in the league and they like him. And so there's a connection there that they look at Doc and they listen. They will play for him. Now, will that last forever? I don't know. But I don't think Tatum relates to Stevens, which isn't Stevens' fault.
If the organization believes that these two kids, Brown and Tatum, are the foundation and they're not going to break them up, then you look at this, as much as last night sucked and you're not close to the Sixers this year, the silver lining is the Celtics can look at the Sixers and say, well, you can turn it around quickly, even with your stars. So you have to be willing to admit the mistakes, make some corrections, which means the coach has to go, and maybe Ainge too.
You know, and Ainge, I just don't feel is on the table or anywhere close to being realistic. But, you know, what the heck?
Surround these kids with talent?
What the heck? Use the Sixers as a lesson. Let it be a lesson to you that a coaching change can have an impact. And sometimes that what you've been working on isn't the process or isn't, you know, you thought you had it. You thought you had it all lined up with your young talent and everything was going along perfectly. And then at some point you just have to wake up, take a hard look at it and say, well, we did everything right. It's still not working. So we've got to change it. And in Philadelphia, they did it. They did it and it's worked. And they, you know, they're now one of the best teams in the league and they have vaulted. And that is scary to think that, you know, you're not just behind the Nets. You've now fallen behind the Knicks. You're still behind the Bucks. And if you really look at it, you know, where are you versus teams like Charlotte, teams like the Knicks, for Pete's sake? I mean, so you've not just fallen behind the Nets. You've fallen further down the East. And are you just going to go into the offseason and say, no, we're going to stay the course and be patient with this? Because growth isn't linear. And we have our ups and downs, but we've still got the right people in place and we're going to let everything mature and we're still, I mean, is that what you're going
to
do?
Yeah, to me, they got to do something this offseason. So, and when I say this, I'm not leaving out Smart. Like, whether it's a roster move, a coaching move, or something. And I told you, to me, it's about getting the most out of Tatum. They're not getting the most out of Tatum.
So this is, you know, back to our conversation last week when I came to the realization that Stevens is done. And it's just a matter of time, and the writing's on the wall. The biggest thing going forward is you need someone to reach Jason Tatum. And that could be a player, but I still think you need a new coach.
Like a Chris Paul.
Yes. Or,
I mean, look at what he's done in Phoenix.
You know, let Garnett buy into the team and become a limited partner and get Garnett in the building. I don't think Garnett would ever coach because he's just made too much money and it's too much work, and I don't know, I don't feel like that's in the cards. But, you know, would Garnett own? They're shutting him out in Minnesota. He's got real money. Guy made hundreds of millions of dollars in his career. Let him buy a piece of the team and bring him into the building. Let him be. I mean, so something like someone's got to get to Tatum. And if you can't find the coach to do it, then you got to find someone else to do it. But I still think that these guys have tuned out Stevens and they ain't going to tune him back in. That's generally the way it works. Once you tune the coach out, you don't dial him back in. And that's why I think the writing's on the wall there. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Wick. And look at what Philly did. They changed the coach. They tweaked the roster. They didn't blow up Embiid and Simmons. They tweaked the roster, and they changed the whole thing around. And it can happen. And so this goes to my other thing, where they kept
the two young guys together.
Well, on the Mike Holly show last night, we were talking. Both Holly and Tom Curran says you've got to look at blowing up Tatum and Brown. I'm like, I'm not doing that yet. You know, so they've said that. Gasper said it last week. Like, I'm surprised the number of people who have immediately gone from 0 to 60, or in Tiger's case, 0 to 85, you know, have gone right to the end and said, nope, blow up Tatum and Brown.
I could be talked into it, but again, looking at last night, it's proof there's another way.
But exactly. To me, blowing up those two guys is last resort. That's the last thing that you do. in my mind, in my plan is no. Look at everything else. Look at the coach. If you want to duplicate what Philly did last year, you keep Brown and Tatum, but you blow out Smart. You see what you can do with Walker. You see what you can do with everybody else. You change the coach and start there. And if that doesn't work, then you can't add other talent. Well, now you're at a place where Tatum or Brown have to go. You bring in someone a little older, a little more championship ready, and you make one last swing at it. Like, that's sort of, I think, how the progression should go. You don't start with blowing up Brown and Tatum. Look at Philly.
I mean, the Sixers, last year, Mike, they were at, like, DEFCON 1. Like, these losers are never going to accomplish anything. They change the coach. It's all different.
Yeah, look, I've always felt like you got to find a way to do it around Tatum and Brown. That's plan A. I have felt that way all along. Because I think once you start ripping one of them out, now you're cutting the window in half. Like, if you're going to trade Brown for, let's say, Bradley Beal, like we brought up the other day, well, fine, except now you're chopping like 4 years off. So now you're losing part of that window. The whole idea of the window is to have the two of them together for a long period of time. So I could see them doing that. I think Smart's expendable. And deep down, I think they do too, whether they want to admit it or not. The coach, I mean, it's hard to argue with what you're saying when what has happened in Philly has happened. Doc has tapped into Embiid. That's what's happened. Like, and you know what? We all knew it was going to happen, too. Doc went there and we said, he'll get Embiid to play. How many times did we say that that you watch Embiid will play for Doc? Now he's got 30 points a game. He's getting 40 a night against the Celtics. They, you know, let alone going to the free throw line 50 times in three games. They can't stop him. The guy's, he wants to play for the coach. He's a force.
Stu, what are you smirking at back there? Now that I'm back in studio, I see all the smirks back there. I'm like, what do you know?
The phone.
What do you have?
I said before the season it was a 7-seed team, and I was mocked. But look at what they are right now. They're a 7-seed. You got to break up Tatum and Brown.
No,
you got to break them up.
I don't know.
You got to make them feel uncomfortable.
They're an 8-seed, not a 7.
Well, so,
and by the way, Marcus Smart has no value in the league. So get that out of your head that you're going to get anything of value for Marcus Smart.
I disagree.
Why haven't they traded him for a big? I'm sorry, Tony. I'm not yelling at you.
No, I understand.
Because they love him and overvalue him.
Bingo. Yep, bingo. And then for whatever reason, they don't, you know, maybe they've written off this season. Who the hell knows? Mike, if you're a team that loses in the playoffs and you say, you know what, we're missing a little, we need some balls. We need somebody that can come up with a play in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Marcus Smart's a good fit for
you. That will cost you a game.
What do you mean? What?
He has made Marcus Smart this season has cost you more games.
No, we're talking about another team in the league that doesn't, that doesn't know him like we know him, that just needs that piece.
You lose five games.
He's that piece. Well, we're trying to sell him, Stu, so don't tell him that.
Right. Yeah, but there are teams out there that will look
at already.
Let's say Golden State gets healthy. Okay? You know, they get Thompson back, Curry's there, and they say, yeah, but we need someone else who's a better shooter than Draymond Green, or someone to add to our competitiveness.
I'd take him on the Bucks.
Sure.
I'd
help a team like Milwaukee.
I have nothing left to give you because we've traded like our next 8 first-round picks. I don't know what we have, but I would take him.
That's equal value.
You're telling me a team like Utah couldn't use Marcus
Smart?
Right.
So, let's put that to the side.
But the point is he's movable.
The point is the Celts can't be afraid to take a hard look at it and say, it's not working. We've done a lot of the right things. We've done mostly the right things. And just by the vagaries of the NBA and the way it works in that league is just through bad luck and then some decisions that weren't so great. We're now behind these teams and it ain't working. And you've got to realize that. You've got to have that self-awareness. You've got to have that moment of clarity like Philadelphia did. And don't be afraid of moving a coach, moving a piece. And just what do you do? Because the Sixers did something and it worked. So that's where we are with the Celtics. So we'll get to your calls on that right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listen to Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And for the second consecutive year, the Philadelphia 76ers go 3-0 against the Celtics to start the year. They will sweep the regular season series, and they do it in dominant fashion. The clock hits triple zeros, and we have no idea which way this Celtics season is going to turn
downward
and finish by the time we get to the end of it. But the one thing we know right now is that the Philadelphia 76ers are on a different level. The final score, Philadelphia 106, Boston 96.
No idea where this is headed. No idea where.
Dig.
I have an idea. I don't know, just a clue. You're headed to this embarrassing little play-in tournament. Oh, does that mean you suck? Oh, is that a bad? You'd rather miss the playoffs than be in this embarrassing, you know, I barely paid attention to it last year because why would you? Even the teams that are in it must look at this and go, oh, man, this is not where you want to be. But it's like 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9, and like two of them come out of it. Like, I don't even really get it. But that's where you're headed, to the NIT, to this, you know.
No, the field of 68.
The freaking split squad scrimmage with the B-side. Like, that's where you are.
Yep.
With two all-stars, a third all-star in Kemba Walker, the best coach in the game in Brad Stevens, and Danny Ainge having done everything right, according to the Green Teamers. That's where you're headed. That embarrassing little play-in tournament.
I mean, that's the other thing, too, is like, you know, you want to sit there and say, well, they're not winning the championship this year anyway. Like, the people that want to justify it with that, first of all, the goal of every team is to max out. Secondly, if they get the number 5 seed, Mike, let's say they get up to 5 or, heaven forbid, 4. Well, now they're playing the other team there. They're playing Atlanta or they're playing Charlotte.
Yeah, least you're not in that play-in tournament.
Right. No, but if you can get up to that spot, you're going to win a round maybe. You have a chance. If you're in the play-in tournament and then you win, you're getting Philly or you're going to get Brooklyn or Milwaukee and you're going to get your ass kicked and go home.
But just lining up for that thing, oh, that means you're such a suck-ass. You're just that.
I mean, considering where this team has been, all these Eastern Conference final runs, these two players, your foundational players, that they're in that is embarrassing.
JV tournament.
It's pathetic.
You're in the JV tournament. That's what you are. And
like the team they're playing tonight, the Knicks, they should be happy to be in that if they do make that because they're trending towards something. Young team. They're actually the Bridgies. Tonight's the one to watch. Last night, you're not close to the Sixers. Watch this game tonight. The Knicks are the Bridgies. They play good defense. They're well coached with Tom Thibodeau. RJ Barrett shoots the light out like Isaiah Thomas did. If they lose tonight and it looks like how it used to, oh God. Like now you can completely don't write them off. Just like we're done.
Here's the thing. It's not just that they're underachieving or they're disappointing. It's fallen apart. Like, I think the thing has fallen apart.
Yeah.
They're tuned out the coach. They don't play with any sort of style or structure. It's just sort of thrown out there every night. The first bit of adversity, they you know, pitch their tent, you fold up their tent, whatever you want to say there. I feel like it's fallen apart. It's not just a simple underachievement. It's like it's fallen apart. And to put it back together is going to take changes, and I don't know if Wick has the stomach to make those changes. I really don't. Steven Taunton, what do you got? Steve! Okay, you got to get. Turn down your radio, turn down the TV. You've been at this long enough to know that. Eddie in East Providence. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Mike. You were right. They are JV guys compared to Embiid and Simmons. They're just better. A couple of other things. I think Maz had brought it up about Garoppolo. I think Bill went to Robin and said, hey, I need 2 years. No one's replacing Brady in 1 year. I need 2 years. Let me do what I want to do. You screwed me on Garoppolo. Number 3, Swayman, Patrick Roy, 1986. Have a good day.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's just keep it in our pants, sir. Let's keep our Swayman tucked in our jeans, shall we? The first thing, Embiid and Simmons, just better. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not just better than Tatum and Brown.
Well, Embiid is.
No. They're playing better, but that doesn't mean they're better. It means your guys don't get it or, you're not reaching your potential and they are. But if everyone's reaching their potential, don't tell me you want Embiid and Simmons over Brown and Tatum.
Well, it should be, look, at the very least, it should be a coin flip, Mike. At the very least. Right now, there's no question. You're taking Embiid and Simmons.
Brown and Tatum are better players than Simmons. And Murray, you're right. I mean, Simmons is effective for not being able to shoot. It's amazing. He is. But he can't shoot.
He's getting better at it. And you should love him because he facilitates.
He does. He's a great facilitator.
The other guy's a monster, Mike.
Yeah, Embiid's a stud.
He's a monster.
who's, you know, I mean, I don't know what, I need to see him win something before I put him on. All I'm telling you is Embiid and Simmons are not, quote unquote, just better. They're not. Embiid and Simmons are engaged. They're playing the game the right way. And that's why they're tushing you. It's not because they're better. It's because your guys have lost their way. And do you have anyone there that can put them back on the tracks? I don't know that you do.
Yeah, so listen, I don't disagree with that part of it. Like, because again, look, they're different, okay? They're all different players. But if you're telling me that on the offensive end, in terms of scoring and shooting, and sure, I'll take Tatum and Brown. Absolutely over Simmons and Embiid. But they're just not, they don't dig in at all.
You played the Sixers last year in the playoffs and swept them. 4-0. Now, Simmons was out, but Embiid was in, right?
I can't remember. That is correct.
Like, I barely remember the thing. But you played this team and swept them. Now you're not close. So is it because Embiid and Simmons are just better? No, that's not what's going on. And that's why it's a story, is because your talent is greater than this. Matt in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, I like phone line, guys, all right?
No. I couldn't hear a word. Try it again.
Can you hear me better now? Sorry.
No. But go.
All right, anyway, the game tonight and the Knicks, I watched the Knicks play. Brooklyn the other night, they lost by 2. This is a tough game. Celtics are soft. They played Brooklyn a little while back, and all they wanted to do is get Kyrie's jersey after the game.
Okay. It was a good call. We just couldn't understand a word.
No, but speaking to their softness, sorry to cut
you
off.
They are soft.
When trailing at halftime, they're 4-19. Like, they just have quit in them.
Yeah, they do. They pack it in. That run in the second quarter, once it got to double digits, that was it.
They played the Nets, and all they wanted to do after the game was get Kyrie's jersey. Good point, caller. Your phone blows. But I did hear that. Yeah. That was a good line. And they are. They are soft.
They are. So, again, this is sort of, you know, I don't know, maybe it speaks to what you're talking about with Embiid being engaged. When the Celtics would make a little run last night, a little one, Embiid would get the ball, go under the basket, plow someone over, and either get fouled or make the bucket.
Well, at least you had Rob Williams to stop. Oh
boy.
How'd that go?
He got manhandled.
He was getting manhandled by Dwight Howard, who's washed up.
And so, you know, there was another game where he went up against a big guy, and he did horribly. And I thought, so now you know, like, he's got a long way to come on that one. But Embiid would get down there and assert himself. That's the point. What did Tatum do to assert himself in that game last night?
Please, complain to the ref.
Did he? And this to me, this is I'm sorry. I'm going to stay on Tatum on this one because Tatum has got the highest ceiling on the team. If he's going to be the best player on the team, when it starts to go sideways, take the ball to the bucket and score or get fouled. And I'm making it sound easier than it is, but assert yourself. He doesn't assert himself in the game.
Here comes Big Jim Murray's update. There was breaking news today on the Tiger Woods situation. Guess how he got into an accident? Details right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. And you? Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Real quick, let's give you another football minute. I don't know if I've ever disagreed with a local football writer more than I've disagreed with Ben Volen today in the Boston Globe. With a couple little things that he wrote. And not that, I mean, I could be wrong. I'm just telling you, I feel much differently than Ben does on a couple of these topics. We hit on a lot of this yesterday and felt a certain way, and it feels like he's got the opposite idea, you know. To me, Teddy Bridgewater would make sense for the Patriots because he's an upgrade over Cam Newton on the field. He's affordable off of it because the Carolina Panthers are going to be on the hook for part of his salary, given that he's got $10 million guaranteed left on that deal. And so you add those two things up, he should be a consideration for the Patriots. And I think that contract makes him a consideration for the Patriots. What I think might preclude him from coming here is the promises the Patriots have made to Cam Newton in the relationship with Newton, which is unfortunate, which sucks that they've settled on Cam Newton as that veteran guy. They could do so much better, and Bridgewater's one of those guys that would be better. But anyway, Volan writes that Cam Newton probably doesn't have to be worried about another veteran coming in and taking his job. Bridgewater, who is owed $10 million fully guaranteed this season, won't be coming to Foxborough. He's not an upgrade over Newton, and the Patriots would never pay a backup more than the starter. Just that line right there. Is he not an upgrade over Newton?
I mean, I think he is.
Yes, he is.
I think, of course, to me, he's a better passer than Cam Newton is.
I mean, like, fact, not opinion. He's a better passer.
Yes.
And no one's saying he's great, but is he an upgrade in the passing game over Cam Newton?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, who isn't?
Bridgewater is a system quarterback, which I don't mind, but he's a high completion percentage guy.
Top five in the league last year.
So that's an upgrade over Cam Newton. Ben, come on, man. And the Patriots would never pay a backup more than the starter. Well, that I agree with. Except they're not paying Teddy Bridgewater. This is the whole point. There's, you know, given the offset situation, the Panthers could and probably will be on the hook for a lot of his salary. So, as we discussed yesterday, you can pay, I don't want to get into it.
But no, I know.
The Panthers are responsible for $10 million of it. So that's a big mitigating factor. Yes, Bridgewater may take home $12 million, but if you're only a hook for two of it, then you're not paying the backup more than Cam Newton, or you're not paying this guy more than Cam Newton. You're paying him on par with Cam Newton. You are. And so I think he has that piece of it wrong.
Yeah, the other thing is I'm not paying the backup more than Newton because I'm starting Bridgewater.
There you go.
So, let's not get, the whole point of bringing him here is that you'd start him ahead of that. The only question I would have is that what the Patriots have told him, or is that what Volan believes?
Yeah, so that second piece, maybe, Maz, maybe, and that would scare me, sure. I don't know, do the Patriots love Ben Volan?
No.
They hate him
like poison.
Right, that's why Volan's good, because he doesn't need to curry their favor. Again, I just disagree with him on his analysis of this. Volan writes that, I don't see the 49ers choosing Bridgewater over Jimmy Garoppolo. The 49ers will be taking a quarterback with the number 3 pick, but they seem adamant about sitting him as a rookie, and they believe they have a Super Bowl contending roster. While Bridgewater is $15 million cheaper than Garoppolo, he's also a significant downgrade and would be new to their system. There's no way the 49ers believe Bridgewater gives them a better chance to win than does Garoppolo. So that's not as, I don't think, wrong as the other thing, but just don't discount the numbers, Ben. And again, Bridgewater's on the books for 17, but the Niners don't have to bring him in for 17. And with the offset language, they're not paying him 17. So just keep that in mind. You get the Panthers to pay part of your freight, which is a big consideration. So I would agree that Garoppolo gives the Niners a better chance to win. I think Garoppolo's better than Bridgewater and versed in the system. But when you put the financial component to it, you can build a case that Bridgewater does make more sense for the Niners. So I still think that thing's alive. Bridgewater to the Niners, Garoppolo becomes free. And I still think that's a consideration. I wouldn't rule that out.
I mean, again, it comes back to, if you're them, do you want Bridgewater at, call it, 12 or Jimmy at 24? And so how big is...
Just bite the bullet and pay for Garoppolo.
Well, okay, you're talking about the Patriots now. Yeah, look, I would love them to do it too. But I think at this stage, San Francisco is going to need to be, prodded a little bit to try to make that deal. And so, look, if I'm the Niners and I think that whoever I take at number 3, if it is Mac Jones, and he could be ready by week 6, then I get rid of Jimmy. I bring in Bridgewater. I have him play for 6 weeks. And then I put the kid in and we're moving forward.
I just think too many people leave out the most important part of the analysis. And that is the contract and the money due to these guys, and not the cap figures, the money. It's going to be a lot for the Niners to pay Jimmy Garoppolo $24 million just to be the bridge guy. That's a big, that's a big outlay on the part of ownership to do that. Not many teams would do that. And we'll see if the Niners ultimately will. And then in terms of Garoppolo's next destination, who's going to pay him and who's not going to pay him? He gets to call the shot with his no trade. That's a big consideration there. Now with Bridgewater, it's the same thing about offset language and how much of the bill is Carolina going to pick up and how you structure that contract. So you could get Bridgewater at a starting quarterback number and pay him very little. And that's sort of like a big component to this whole thing. And that's what I think makes Bridgewater in play here, both for the Patriots and the Niners. I worry that the Patriots have already committed themselves to Cam Newton being that guy, that it's Cam Newton and a draft pick. And I think they could have done so much better with that veteran slot than they have done with Cam Newton, that it disappoints me that they just settled on Cam Newton versus looking for even just a small upgrade. I'll take. You try and be as good as you can be. Win as many games. If Marcus Mariota or Teddy Bridgewater or Ryan Fitzpatrick or you name it, never mind Stafford or Garoppolo or Carson Wentz, who could be worth a lot more than that. But if those other guys just get you one more game, maybe that's the difference between being at home on the playoffs or on the road in the playoffs. And maybe that means one more playoff win, and that means one more week of football and that much closer to the Super Bowl. You take it. That's the game.
I mean, it does feel like they decided a long time ago it's either Jimmy or Newton.
And it disappoints me they didn't work harder to upgrade Cam Newton.
They should have. Yeah, they should have. Because, again, especially if a guy like Bridgewater ends up on the market, you know, and I mean on the street market. Like, you know, you don't have to pay him anything. You bring him in for nothing. Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that? Again, I'm not a huge Bridgewater fan, but he's better than Newton. Newton sucked last year. He sucked. He was so bad.
And Bridgewater, like, not, you can say, we can debate about how great he is or not. I think he's better than Newton for sure. I think he also fits what you want to do a little bit better. He is a system quarterback, and he is someone that will take easy throws and just, you know, he'll check down and he'll do that thing and he'll manage the game. And I don't think Newton has that in him at all. And so, like, I think Bridgewater a better passer, which doesn't make him a great passer. It just means he's better. He's a better fit for your team. And he might be cheap as all get out with that offset. So don't rule him out, Ben, anyone else.
He can complete the simple throws. So Newton can't.
There's your football minute. We've hit on a lot today. We are going to get to the Red Sox as we get closer to the end of that game. It looks like they're going to sweep out the Tampa Bay Rays. So we've got thoughts on them this hour. We're sort of focusing on the Celtics. And does Wick Grosbeck, Danny Ainge, the Celtics have the balls, the guts, to take a hard look at their roster and make some moves like Philly did, or have the guts to take a hard look at their coach and say, this isn't working? Do they have the guts to do that? We'll pick that up right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Getting you through the afternoon, one take at a time.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable.
It's Felger and Mass.
So why don't you just do that? Just do that thing.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, and now, the radio.com app.
So how do you react when you hear, you know, calls for their jobs? I'll just say, sitting in this seat, Wick, I haven't heard it like this in, you know, at any time since Danny got here 18 years ago, and at any point in time since Brad got here 8 years ago, or, you know, whatever it was. The number of calls and the, you know, people saying it's time to get a new coach, it's time to now look at Danny Ainge. We've gotten more of that this year than we've ever gotten it combined leading up to this. How do you react to that? When you hear that, what do you say?
Yeah, I react by saying, well, if you know, I'm the one that has to make the decision, I'm not the one that has to live with the change and say, oh my God, I let somebody go. And then he's immediately, either one of those guys would be immediately the top candidate in the league for the job. It doesn't matter who else is out there. So there are guys and we're sticking with them. And it was not even a question in my mind.
That's Wick Grosbeck. When we had him on last month, I don't have the exact date for you, but I was listening to Adam Jones, always a mistake, but I think he made a good point on this. Like, so one of the reasons they wouldn't get rid of Brad Stevens is because he'd be the first guy hired across the league. Like, so what? Like, what does that have to do with anything? And Jones said it was a good point. Claude was the first guy hired. As soon as Claude got fired, he got hired like the next day, for Pete's sake. Did that mean it wasn't time to move on from Claude Julien or Terry Francona? As soon as Terry Francona, he took a year off, right? Went to the booth. But as soon as he came back, got a job right away. But that doesn't mean it wasn't time for Terry. It was time for Terry Francona, and it was time for Claude. And it's time for Brad Stevens. And if he gets another job immediately, doesn't mean you made the wrong call. You did what was right for your team.
Well, so I think I said something to this effect the other day. Like, So fine, you have a good coach, but if your best player has tuned him out, and he can't, or phrase it however you want, but the bottom line is, if he can't get through and get the most out of the best player on the team in that league, it's no good.
It's falling apart.
It's just it's no good. So look, now again, I think there are other things I would try first if I were them. So, you know, maybe it's getting rid of Smart. Maybe I don't know what it is. There are other things I would try first. But if you're telling me that Stevens can't get through to Tatum and it's not working because of that, well, then he's got to go. You don't keep the coach over the player in that league.
You don't keep him based out of fear that someone else is going to hire him.
Who cares?
Right.
It's just he's not right for you at that time. It's just that's the way it goes.
If it ain't working, it's time to move on.
So anyway, back to your phones here, as promised. Jack and Beverly. Hi, Jack.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. The Celtics have to fire Brad Stevens. It's clear they've tuned him out. And then another thing is, in the offseason, they should look to move on from Walker or Smart. They don't fit with Tatum and Brown. You need to change the mix on the team. Then my last point is, I don't know if any of you guys were able to see the tweet from Kendrick Perkins, but he basically called out Jason Tatum, and I think he would be a great candidate to be a head coach.
So I heard these, maybe Rich this morning talking about the Kendrick Perkins tweet calling out Tatum for just, I don't have it in front of me.
I got it right here. It says, Jason Tatum, you get paid the big bucks. You have the body language and energy level of an underpaid player, and it's hurting the team. Time to step up and live up to your role straight up. Carry on.
So, you know, I don't think Perk is wrong. I just don't know if he's barking up the wrong tree. In other words, Tatum just is what Tatum is. I mean, how do you, eventually one day you wake up out of bed and you got the dog in you? When you've never had it in your life?
Didn't you say the same thing about Embiid last year?
Well, yeah. Okay.
So listen, all I'm saying is in that league, it can look that way.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. And I'm not telling you he's Kobe, okay? I'm not telling you he's that. I'm not sure that he is. But he can play better and more assertively than he's playing. That I know. And so this to me is like, now again, if it's because he and the coach aren't connecting, well, then that can be a way to get to it. You know, look at Embiid play now. Just look at how he's playing. You know, 30, he's an MVP candidate, Mike.
I mean, I just look at his body. He's in shape. He got in shape. And just start with that. So, but that's not Tatum's problem. But there is an intangible there that Tatum's lacking. The question is, can you reach him and get more of that out of him?
Correct.
Or is it just is what it is. That's how he's wired. He's hardwired as a kid, or he was hardwired through AAU and Dookie and number 3 overall pick, and that's just what you're going to get for the rest of his career, or is there something else in there that you can reach? That's the question.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I can't tell you definitely that there's a lot more in there, but
let me tell you, this coach is not the one to get it out of him.
Does he play hard?
No.
Does he get angry when they start to lose control of the game?
No.
Does he assert himself and change the flow of the game?
No, no, and no.
So, I don't know. He's 22. Maybe it's because he's 22, and I'm not making excuses for it. I'm just throwing out the possibilities. But to me, I almost said something I shouldn't have said there. Sorry.
What do you think that was, Murray? What do you think he was going to say there?
Began
with an S.
Dig in, stick your nose in there, and change the flow of the game. Assert yourself.
Christian in Foxborough, your thoughts.
Hey, what's going on? You said that before this Red Sox season started, you just don't want to hate them, which I agree. I'm starting to hate this Celtics team more than last year's Red Sox team. Your thoughts? Have a good one.
Yeah, they're hateable. Like, this is what it's. There's nothing worse than a team that won't play to its ability and, you know, can't put it together for factors other than talent, which, you know, then we blame the general manager and we hate him because they suck. But it's worse when you have talent and you should be a certain thing, but you're not. And you're not because of some, you know, intangible toughness, smarts, buy-in, investment, work ethic. I don't know, something. When one of those things are the reason you aren't as good as you should be, those are the worst. Those are the most hateable teams going, and that's what the Celtics are.
No question. Yep, no question. Underachiever. And the worst part of it is after you get contracts. So now you're an overpaid underachiever. Like, to me, that's double jeopardy right there. Like, that is automatic death sentence.
Josh in Haverhill. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Salgi Mazza Murray. Little Patriots, little Celtics. On the Patriots, you know, we should get a different quarterback. And ABC, like Big Jim Murray said, anybody but Cam. And on the Celtics, you know, they're not going anywhere, and the additions didn't really matter there, and they're not going anywhere, and they're just gonna float for now.
Okay, they're floaters. There's no question. Tatum's a floater. He's just a glider. He's just gliding along, and no sweat off his nose. No real, you know, nothing really gets to him, and it's just he's fine either way. That's a scary place to be.
It is, yeah. And again, I do worry about the Kyrie influence on him too, because you know the Kyrie's probably chirping in his ear, saying, "Yep, sign your second contract. You'll make you know $28 million, $30 million a year, whatever the number is." I don't
Life's
even know.
Bigger than basketball,
right?
Man.
Oh, right. No. And then
you know it's stuff like that.
Yes, and then at the end of the contract, you'll be able to make the decision you want. You go wherever you want. That's the way it works.
You know, Tatum. Tatum doesn't have that. I mean, the Kyrie thing, like, what's government, man? Like, I don't think Tatum pulls that crap. I get to say, maybe just wants to go home and play Xbox, and he doesn't care.
Yeah, I think it's that. Like, it's cool that he's got his potato chip endorsement, his Subway endorsement, and, yeah, whatever. We lost tonight, no big whoop.
Or he wants to go to the range and hit a bucket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, yes. He's
not that there's anything wrong with that.
He's just trying to get the index down. He's just, you know, it doesn't bother him. It doesn't really bother him that they're not very good and they don't win on a given night. I don't think it really bothers him.
It doesn't feel like it bothers him.
On his first thing, Josh's first thing, ABC, anyone but Cam, like that's really my big second guess. The draft, I'm going to be open. Like, draft a guy in the first round, draft a guy in the second round. You know, I'm okay. Like, I think a lot, there's so many first round busts. You don't have to draft the guy in the first round. If you really think Kellen Mond and Kyle Trask are as good as those guys in the first round, draft them in round two or round three. You'll be proven right or wrong over time. Like, I'm negotiable on the draft thing. I don't think they have to draft the guy up high or have to take him there or have to take him there. The veteran thing, the veteran holdover, you could have done better than Newton, and you still can. That's the one that I think is the real second guess. You're really invested in this team this year. The coach only has a certain shelf life left as coach, and the owner may only have a certain shelf life left as an active NFL owner. You know, it's like, do you guys want to get back in the game and win another one? So this year should be important to you. You could have done so much better than Newton, and you haven't. Like, that's the one that really bothers me.
Oh, it should, again. I think at the end of the year, what did we all say? You can't bring this guy back. Bill can't possibly bring this guy back, can he? Like, how could he possibly think that they can't do better than that? He was one of the three worst quarterbacks in the league last year, if not the worst.
Okay, let's get to the Red Sox. Let's get to Major League Baseball and a rule change that I think is a grand slam home run, to use a cliche. Here's Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back with this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.